Welcome to Inspired with Megan Alexander. Hey there, friends. It's Megan. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so glad you're here. Today, we are getting a little inspiration from Michael Oakes. He is one of the most versatile songwriters in America. His music is featured in major motion pictures like The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, TV shows like The Simpsons and True Blood, and of his countless hits, you might most likely recognize his song In Her Eyes that was recorded by Josh Groban. And one of his most successful songs of all time is On My Knees, which was recorded by Jackie Velasquez. It won Song of the Year from the Gospel Music Association and many other awards and stayed at number one on radio for 16 straight weeks. I have to say I played a small part in that, by the way. I blasted that song from my stereo in high school. In addition to his success in pop music, Michael is universally recognized as a breakthrough composer in Hebrew Jewish worship music and brings that contemporary music to synagogues all over the country. More on that in a little bit. He's also the co-founder of the Pursuit of Harmony Project, and we will tell you all about that in detail. But this Jewish American tours the globe with his Muslim Palestinian fellow songwriter and dear friend. And we saved the best for last, didn't we, Michael? Our personal connection is that I was your very first intern in 2002. Welcome to Michael Oakes.
From intern to interviewer. You've come a long way, Megan.
Thank you for doing this.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
This is so fun. You've had an incredible career, lots to talk about, very diverse. You're doing a lot of different things. But first, let's talk about the songwriting.
Yeah, diverse is a nice way to say maybe schizophrenic, but I like diverse better.
You have a very full life, very rich with a lot of different things. But I got to know you as a songwriter. And I was looking for an internship here in Nashville, Tennessee, called up Michael Oakes. And left you a voicemail, Mr. Oakes.
And that voicemail was historic. I had interviewed a few people, and as soon as I heard your message, I just said, she's it. And then you wanted to still send me your resume. And I said, yeah, you could send it, but please just pick up the keys and get to work.
Yeah, you immediately put me to work. Let's talk about your music first.
Sure.
When did you decide that music was your passion and you wanted to make a career of it?
You know, my dad is an amazing classical pianist, and he paid for his whole college and law school education making music. So he would come home from work every day, and before dinner he'd sit down at the piano and just practice, and I would just listen every night. And I think the die was cast way back then. I was probably 6 or 7 years old.
When did you first write a song?
First song I wrote was in fifth grade. I was home from school sick. And it was called Turn to Me. I had no idea I could write a song. And I remember my dad came home from work that day. I played it for him. And he didn't know I knew how to play chords on the piano. And I didn't know I could play chords on a piano, but it was just there. Yeah. Strange.
Yeah. And when did you say, I want to make a living doing this?
I think it became my focus as opposed to being a performer. Because, you know, in high school, college, I played in bands. But somewhere in college, I thought, you know, maybe I don't want to live a life on the road and I'll become a songwriter. And now I spend, you know, 6 months on the road.
You're on the road all the time.
All the time.
What is your process for writing a song? Lyrics first, melody first? How do you approach it?
You know, every song's different. Maybe some come from just an idea. Maybe it depends who I'm writing with that day. I think a lot of songwriters today, we keep a running list in our iPhones of just maybe a title or a line or something we've heard or read in a book that we think might trigger something during a session. So every song is different how it comes about. I've had song ideas that have been sitting in my phone for 5 years that I forgot about. And then boom, I just see it one day and it gets written in an hour. You know, you never know.
Writing by yourself versus co-writing with someone, do you have a preference?
I don't think I have a preference. I definitely co-write much more than I do writing by myself. But in the last couple of years, I've had a couple of songs I did write by myself that did all right. But we live in a co-writing world. You know, if you look at the Billboard charts, I think the average song now on the charts is 4.5 writers. I'm usually the half writer.
It's collaboration.
Collaboration.
When you co-write with someone, do you remember a time where you had to give up on the verse that you loved or a course that you loved because it just, the other person didn't want it and you had to meet in the middle somehow?
Oh, it happens all the time.
All the time.
Or a verse or just a line or a word, all the time. You have to convince each other, you know. I think every song I write, though, we both end up agreeing on every word. I don't think anyone has ever had to compromise something so big as a verse.
Yeah, it's your path. I mean, it's your baby.
Yeah, it has to be right. It has to be right.
On My Knees, mm-hmm. a song that every single person who attended some type of Christian church or school.
And that would not be me.
Right. Because right. On My Knees, yeah. Beautiful song.
Thank you.
Recorded by Jackie Velasquez. Mm-hmm.
And Nicole Mullen did a version.
How did that song come about?
I'll tell you. It started, I was teaching piano back in those days, and I had a student show up late. So while I was waiting for him, I just started noodling at the piano, and that's where the basic chords and some of the melodies came from. And then I wasn't really living in Nashville at the time, but I had met a guy named David Mullen, who's one of the co-writers on the song. We had met in L.A. We agreed to meet in Nashville, and that was the first song we wrote together, and Nicole ended up writing a lot of the words as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Jackie then records it, mm-hmm. and it is on the charts for how many weeks?
Yeah, I think it was various charts, 14 or 16 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Did you know it was a hit when you first
Do you know what? Not when we wrote it, but then I came back to Nashville, and Nicole and David had demoed it. And when I heard the demo, they weren't as excited about it as me. I think we all love the song, but I heard the demo, and I thought, wow, this might be something special.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is such a beautiful song. Some songwriters are very private, I've learned in our industry. You never see them or you know about them, but we never see them maybe with the artist who recorded the song. But you performed that song with Jackie on national television.
Yeah.
You played the piano to
yes.
accompany her. And several times you performed that song together.
I think so, yeah.
And maybe just talk about that. I mean, that partnership.
Well, you know, it's so funny too, because Jackie and I, we hadn't seen each other in 10 or 12 or 15 years, and we just bumped into each other on the security line at Nashville Airport about a month ago.
Oh, neat.
And it was really funny, because I don't know why, I turned to look behind me, and I see this woman, and she looks at me, and we just started laughing, and we ended up getting 20 minutes over at Nashville in the airport to catch up.
That's
amazing. She's got kids now and, you know, the whole thing.
Sure. And quite a career.
Actress,
radio host.
Radio, everything. Yeah. But as far as performing it live, her mom called me. They were coming to New York. And I split my time up, you know, between New York and Nashville. And said, are you in New York next week? I said, yeah. And they didn't know if I actually could play the song, because a lot of songwriters maybe don't play the piano, and they needed it on piano. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, I can play it. They said, okay, do you want to play? I think it was Fox and Friends or something. And so we played it on, I think it was Fox and Friends, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those songs, too, where I feel like it's a classic. Mm-hmm. We hear it all the time. And it's known as a Christian pop song. Mm-hmm. You are Jewish.
Yes.
Maybe just talk about the impact that song has made on so many people. Like, mm-hmm. I know for me, I see it as a beautiful prayer. I hear it as a prayer. Getting on your knees, there I am before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of reaction did you get from people? What have people shared with you when they found out you wrote that song?
It's been something. It's been really humbling when someone says they had lost their faith and then they heard this song and it restored something inside them. I've had even Jewish folks have heard the song. I've played it in a few synagogues, and it's a song about the power of prayer.
Right.
And, you know, my grandmother, she's Orthodox Jewish. She's very religious. She loved the song because, by the way, it's just about prayer.
Right.
And Jews at one point prayed on their knees too. Because I had to clear it with a rabbi when this was all going down. And I said, you know, what do you think about this? Oh, this is beautiful. I said, you know, we used to pray on our knees too, so no problem. And I remember my grandmother, she watched me play it on Fox that day with Jackie.
Yeah.
And her eyesight wasn't so good back then. But she could notice I had a ponytail, so she knew it was me playing piano because they only showed me from the back.
Yeah,
she knew it was me.
I love telling people that was my first internship in Nashville, and they say, who did you work for? I say, Michael Oakes. He wrote that song, On My Knees. Do you know that song? Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Everybody knows that song. Okay, we are going to take a serious pivot. Are you ready? We're going to make a pivot.
Let's do it.
You wrote music for the popular HBO show True Blood.
Yes.
From On My Knees to Vampires.
Yeah. I have two different bios, you know?
That's right. Yeah. Were you a fan of the show, True Blood?
Oh, my gosh. I still have never seen the show.
You've never seen an episode?
I have never seen it.
So how did they...
Should I admit that?
I think it's okay. You're a busy man.
You can edit this out later, Jim, right?
And listen, you can... one weekend, you can watch all the seasons. But so how did your music get on that show?
You know, I got an email one day, and it said, hey, we want to use this song on True Blood. I didn't even remember the song. It was such an old song. And I couldn't find a copy of it in my computer, so I thought maybe they're confusing me with a different songwriter. So I texted my co-writer, said, hey, can you send me this song? I don't remember the name of it right now.
You don't?
No. I should have prepared better, Megan. And she sent me the copy. Oh, is it that song? Okay. And she had left it with a music supervisor like 10 years earlier, and he said he would find a home for that song, and 10 years later, he found a spot for it on True Blood.
There you go. And this is one of many TV shows mm-hmm. that your music has been featured on.
Sure.
You have songs on Dawson's Creek.
Back in the day, yeah.
The Simpsons.
Simpsons, all the different soap operas and all sorts. They just sang On My Knees on X Factor a couple years ago, the last season of X Factor.
Yeah. Is it... For that type of a thing, when you're writing a song for a TV show, like you never saw True Blood.
Mm-mm.
So do you, has there been a time where you did watch the show mm-hmm. or something came to you, some inspiration, and you thought, oh, I think this song might be a fit?
Yeah. I mean, never for TV or movie. Usually a song already exists
okay.
and you're finding a home for that song, or someone's heard it and they find a home for it. The time I do remember having this idea was, and it, where all the pieces fell into place, was with Josh Groban on In Her Eyes. I had always had this idea for a song in 5/4 instead of typical pop music is in 4/4, four beats per measure. And I thought, man, I got to find an artist who will do something in 5/4. And then I saw Josh Groban was looking for his new album, and I thought he would do it because he also is a great drummer. So I thought a singer who also played drums would find something appealing. Maybe about 5/4, and that one happened. So that was a good experience.
I was going to say, Josh Groban, that's pretty good if you can get an international superstar like him to perform your music. Michael, when I worked for you, I was shocked at how the process works. Just really interesting that someone, for example, can take one of your songs and mm-hmm. put it on hold.
Mm-hmm.
Or an artist may record one of your songs, but it will never make the album.
Sure.
And so no one will ever hear it. Or you had said to me, oh, you know, the Wilkinsons recorded this song, Feel, and which, by the way, is a fantastic song. You had written that song, and we were pitching it all over Nashville.
Yeah. And I sent you out on pitch meetings, didn't I?
That's right.
That
you did.
Awesome.
I would be ready to go, armed with your CDs,
wow.
with all your demos, and you would go out, and I would go with you, and we'd pitch music to the different publishing companies.
I should wonder if you would pitch my songs today, Megan. Maybe I have more.
There you go.
A lot would happen.
I will tell you guys, one time, do you remember this?
Tell me.
I was in a Mexican restaurant in Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay.
I had your demo CD in my purse.
Faith Hill?
Leanne Rimes. Was eating at the table next to me in Nashville, and my heart started pounding, and I thought, I need to do this. This is my moment to be his rock star intern. I walked up to Leanne Rimes, and I said, hey, there's a song on this CD. My friend Michael Oakes is the songwriter. You need to listen to it. Track 4. Have a great day. And she took the CD and said, thank you so much. I'll do so.
I think I gave you gas money for this, right?
Oh, my gosh. Great memories. You got to go for it in life.
That was amazing, Megan. I remember that. You know, I always believed that you were going somewhere. I didn't know where exactly, but I knew you were going somewhere.
Oh,
really.
Man. So the collaboration of the industry and mm-hmm. the relationships and the chance meetings, you know, where you have shared with me, you met somebody and then they ended up recording your music later, is really, really cool.
Mm.
You are also, in addition to all this pop music, you're a composer of Jewish music,
sure.
modern Jewish worship music,
mm-hmm.
really.
Mm-hmm.
And you perform in synagogues all over the country.
Yeah.
And you had this song, A New Year. It's on YouTube right now.
Yeah, that was last year. Yep.
And I mean, how many hits is it up to? How many
that
views?
One, it's over between on Facebook. It has about 6 million views.
Wow.
And it came out of nowhere. There's a Jewish holiday called Rosh Hashanah, which is the new year, and a Jewish organization called the 92nd Street Y. They were looking for a new song for Rosh Hashanah last year, and they called me. And we put this song together. It's not in Hebrew at all. It's all English. And we did a video for it, and it ended up going around the world. And during the 6 or 7 days surrounding Rosh Hashanah last year, mm-hmm. it got 1 million hits a day, which was – it was exciting to see that. Because normally a Jewish song doesn't get that kind of attention. I do it. I love it, and it's a beautiful part of what I do, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. But to see it get 6 million views was really, that was, never anticipated that.
That is incredible. Now, one of the reasons that I really admire you is you want to make a difference with your life. Your work has meaning. You want to make the world a better place, to try not to sound cheesy here. In 2008, your life changed forever. You were asked to do the unimaginable. You're a Jewish American. You met up with a Palestinian Muslim, mm-hmm. a fellow songwriter, yep. and you forged this incredible friendship and idea to create The Pursuit of Harmony.
Yes.
Talk about this.
Yeah, briefly in 2008, through just twists and turns of life, I know we don't have too much time to get into it, but I ended up in the West Bank, Palestinian territory, Palestine. And on my very first night there, I met with a songwriter named Ala Al-Shaham, and I heard his music, and we began talking, and the talent was apparent immediately, but this guy has such a heart. And we struck up a friendship, and we developed that friendship starting in 2000, I think it was 2009, and we began to build trust. You know, I had never met a Palestinian in my life that I knew of, and he had limited contact with Jewish people. And I think both our peoples have this preconceived ideas, perception about, in quotes here, about the other, and we're making these assumptions about people and peoples that we've never met in person. And that's just, it's not fair, and it's maybe even dangerous.
Yeah.
Thing to do.
I have sat in the synagogue and watched you both perform mm-hmm. together. It's a goosebumps moment. It's powerful. It's thought-provoking to watch you sing each other's songs. Explain how it works when you perform together.
Yeah. Well, I think we're really singing in each other's languages, too. It started out, we wanted to share with our communities, in my case, the Jewish American community, Allah's case, the Palestinian community, Muslim community. We wanted to share this unlikely friendship. We thought maybe it could be a model mm-hmm. that others could duplicate. And it's about sending a new signal back and forth between Jewish America and Palestine and Palestinians into Jewish America. How many times has a Jewish person gone to synagogue and heard a Muslim singing in Hebrew?
Well, what was the initial mm-hmm. reaction to you asking to do this? What did mm-hmm. the leaders in mm-hmm. your local synagogue
sure. okay.
say to
Good
you?
Question.
I'd like to bring in my
sure.
Palestinian Muslim friend to perform with mm-hmm. me. What do they say?
Yeah. It took a little convincing, to be honest with you, but they're very open-minded here. But they gave us about 5 or 10 minutes the first time. And we played one song, and then I turned it over to Allah to tell a story. We didn't know what we would do. We were just sort of testing it out, because what would happen is I would come back from the Middle East. And by the way, every time I go to the Middle East, I split my visit between Israel and Palestine, or the Palestinian territories, or the West Bank. Some people are more comfortable calling it one of these names. I would come back, and I would be playing in a synagogue, and I wanted to see people's reaction. So I would say, you know, I just got back and I was in Ramallah for 4 days, and this is a song that was inspired by that visit. I worked on it with a Palestinian songwriter. And after the service ended, the only thing people wanted to talk to me about was, what was it like in Ramallah? Because we don't think we can visit there. And we think if we do visit there, we might end up in big trouble or kidnapped or who knows what. But every time I've gone, I've been welcomed with open arms, great friends all over the West Bank now. Who could imagine this? And Allah has come to the States, I don't even know how many times. And he has friends in synagogues all over the States. And I have Muslim friends all over the States now and in the West Bank. So we're trying to send new signals and start building relationships.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love that you're doing that. If people want to find out more, where do they go?
ThePursuitOfHarmony.com. We just have a small website. We haven't looked for much media attention yet. We're really just slowly, quietly building a little platform of relationships.
What's the future hold for both of you? Do you think you'll record an album together?
Mm. Well, we've just started recording an album. I got the first rough mix back today. And hopefully we'll have it ready for the fall.
Yeah.
Late fall.
I when you describe all this mm-hmm. and you started first telling me about your friendship, I thought music is the universal language.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like a cliche, and I heard that growing up my whole life. But when you're in the Middle East with an eclectic group of people, and music really provides the form of communication, and it breaks down barriers that dialogue doesn't break down. Something we're here in Nashville. I mean, we know the power of a song. I thought I knew the power of a song, but when I was in the Middle East, in a place I should be afraid of, or if I'm in a synagogue with my Muslim friend, and we see people break down in tears listening to the two of us sing in each other's languages. Maybe we've taken a Jewish prayer and we've put it into Arabic, and people hear the similarity in the languages, and it has this emotional reaction. And we realize, you know, it's a lot easier to help someone to feel differently before you can change their mind. So we like to say, you know, first we want people to just begin to feel differently. Once they feel differently, they can more easily start to think differently. Mm. And once they think differently, it becomes natural to start acting differently. That's part of our process.
Wow. Mm-hmm. It is so incredible. And Pursuit of Harmony, check it out. It's something to watch to see what the future mm-hmm. holds. I love to ask my podcast guests to give me a question that I can ask okay. a future guest.
Sure.
You know me. I have friends all over the country, mm-hmm. really in all different parts of our aspects of our industry in terms of entertainment and media and business and nonprofits. What's something you would like to ask?
Who am I asking?
We don't know yet.
Don't know yet.
We don't know yet.
Okay, well, I know we spoke about this. I really like to know what quotes inspire people. Mm. I like short quotes, you know. A few words can change somebody's opinion, can inspire someone to do something they never thought they could do.
I absolutely love quotes. They're all over my house. They're in the bathroom. They're up on the computer. What is one of your favorite quotes?
Yeah, I love, never underestimate a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens to change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has.
Margaret Mead.
Margaret Mead.
God bless her. Mm-hmm. That's an incredible quote. Yep. Michael Oakes, songwriter, composer, humanitarian. Mm. Making a difference in this world. Did you ever think your life would be what it is today?
Never, never. I mean, when you grow up, and this project with Allah has become so central to my life, and I could never have imagined I'd visit the Middle East 25 times in the last 8 years. Never. But it's interesting what happens when you kind of open up your heart, open your mind, and say yes.
There you go.
And say yes.
Say yes. Mm-hmm. What will you leave with our viewers? If anybody wants to get into this industry, they have a dream, they have an idea. Mm. What would you say to them?
I think you just have to be true to yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. Listen to that little voice inside.
And say yes.
Say yes.
Until next time, everyone.
Thanks, Megan.
Stay inspired.
Yeah.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.